Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org and also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show any time of day thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. KSFR is simulcasting at 90.7 FM and 101.1 FM. 101.1 will be our new home very soon, so retune your radio dials. I'd like to welcome Tan Dun. He is a composer, a living composer, whose opera, Tea, A Mirror of Soul, is being produced by the Santa Fe Opera this summer. And in fact, the opening night was last Saturday, and the opera is being performed tonight, Wednesday, July 25th. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tea, A Mirror of Soul brings up entire realms that are probably foreign to a lot of our listeners, a lot of American audiences or even European audiences. For example, the idea that tea is not only a drink, but it is a metaphor for wisdom. It is a tradition replete with books, centuries of tradition. What, first of all, is the Book of Tea, and what does tea represent?
Actually, to me, tea, it has a certain way to go with. First of all, to plan the tea is very hard. And of course, to pick the tea leaves is also harder. But actually, to taste tea is the hardest. That means to link yourself, your mind, with the nature, with the clock of nature, is the hardest one. That's how tea bridged us to this a new phenomenon, new culture. Yeah. So tea opera is trying to find this direction to link the human being and the nature together for a certain a new mind.
So tea is difficult to plant, to grow, to pick, and then to drink, to know. What is the process of learning that? What is that way like?
That's very interesting. That's why the Book of Tea, it's like the Bible of the tea culture, was written in 8th century in China. That tea book, it's quite interesting, first of all, firstly discovered how tea was found and invented. Then what kind of water goes with what kind of tea? And what kind of tea goes with what kind of food and what kind of color? Red tea or black tea or green tea? White tea goes what kind of, goes with what kind of mind and people? For example, some people like green tea, some people like the black tea, some people like herbal tea, flower tea, and it's actually associated with a different kind of mind in different time. For example, in the morning, I always loved black tea, but actually in the afternoon, I loved green tea because I don't know why, but somehow associated with the feeling of the nature. And in different time, the nature tells something very differently. From sunset to sunrise. But the human being has the same kind of sunset and sunrise clock. And we sometimes could be realizing that more clearly by a certain bridging from the nature, from the plant, from the animal. And the Book of Tea actually tells a lot of this kind of feelings. Even about what kind of ceramics, what kind of teapot, it's good for what kind of tea. And many, many people will ask me, tell me, what's the difference between Chinese tea ceremony and the Japanese tea ceremony? Along with the history, of course, Japanese tea ceremony was introduced from China with the Buddhist and the Zen culture. But now on, there's two tea ceremony has become so differently now. For example, Chinese always drinking tea with a vivid lifestyle, and Japanese tea always having a tea with a very, very ritualistic behave and mind. So to me, if you ask me very simply, what's the difference between Chinese and the Japanese tea ceremony? I would say Japanese tea ceremony made their life art. And Chinese tea ceremony made their art life.
Now, there's a line in the opera, woman makes life art, man makes art life. Are you equating China and Japan with male and female?
Yeah. Actually, this is very, very interesting because we were going to put Chinese tea and Japanese tea different ways in the libretto, but then we find it's too realistic. So we changed Japan as a woman and China as a man. It's quite interesting. In that way, from libretto's point of view, and woman made life art and man made art life.
What does that mean?
For example, in Chinese tea ceremony, they laugh, they eat, they enjoy with the family, with a relaxing mood. They talk anything from family to something quite philosophical or deep. But even they talk about something very, very deep, very, very abstract, very, very minded. They're still laughing and eating and very, very receiving everybody's laugh, smile, and feeling of anything. Japanese tea ceremony, you have to be together with a closed, no window room in a darkness, and have there's a fire in the center, and when you get into this room, every soul is equal. No matter you're the boss, you're the employee, everybody is equal, and they start to making tea, make a water, but every gesture of the making tea is almost like a modern dance and the theater. And nobody shouldn't talk about it. They ask you to listen to the sound of making tea or preparing the water, preparing the fire. And to listen to the song of the making tea is the way to wash your soul. And of course, later is the served tea, how you drink this tea, how express yourself to appreciate the tea, the making of tea, and savoy of the tea. And that's very, very ritualistic. Every gesture of movement, every sound of movement, every sound of a tea ceremony become an art. And from that tea ceremony, you can tell people's background. You can tell how people's educational level. You can tell where and when this person came from. It's very interesting.
Now, you have in the opera a love triangle of brother and sister who love each other very much. They're Chinese. The sister marries a prince from Japan. So you have Japan and China represented. In the context of the opera, this person coming from Japan, what does that mean, entering this family? And why is the brother so hostile toward him?
That's relating to the history. Because in 8th century, China was like today's America. It's kind of a leading culture and country around the world. And that time, Japanese student, Japanese royal family all come to China to study Zen, to study Buddhist culture, and to study calligraphy, to study all kinds of things. And I'm sure, according to the history, the prince Seikyu of Japan that time certainly come several times a year to China to learn all kinds of things from calligraphy to Zen to Buddhist culture to tea ceremony. And of course, and this story of the tea opera is one of his trip when he comes to the Chinese royal family and he interrupted puppet theater opera, and he is still singing the love song when he was playing the puppet theater with Lan, the Chinese princess. So that's how it would started. Of course, the brother was a little nervous. And first of all, he loves his sister. He is a little bit afraid this stranger will take away of his sister and break up his family. And of course, later, the contradictions, the fighting become more even controversial and fatal. It's because he had a book of tea, which actually, in that time, the printing, the publishing is not so developed. And every book could be have all kinds of manual copying editions, including Bible, you see. So why not a book of tea? So, for example, even when we research the book of tea, we find all kinds of editions. Actually, some editions are totally different. You have no idea which one is more authoritative, more correct. But you can imagine that time, since there's no standard publishing house, and all kinds of writings, and could they could say, hey, this is fake, this is right. So in that sense, the contradiction made the fight between Chinese prince and the Japanese princess, because Japanese prince told him he was study the tea ceremony in the south, and he had chance to meet a Chinese sage of tea, and he thought this book is false, it's fake. And of course, Chinese princess, no, this is not fake. And they lost face, and two princes become a very, very fight, you know.
And there's a great irony there, because both of them very much love this woman, the sister of one, the husband of the other, and the tea book is about wisdom, and there they are fighting like schoolyard children.
Yeah, the whole tea opera, actually, it's about the Zen culture. It's about a home of your mind, the home of your heart, the home of a harmony. So, to me, actually, what I really, really want to discover is how Japanese tea was introduced from China, how Japanese developed this tea ceremony according to their own culture till now, and how the Japanese tea ceremony was developed according to Buddhist and the Zen culture, which is different from China today, and how all those origin of culture and how all those expressed through whole world now, and how Japanese and Chinese people trade the tea, a totally different thing as Westerner. And we probably here, we not Santa Fe. Yeah, Santa Fe is a place, actually, people have much more sense and mind to link nature and themselves as a one. And in certain places, especially in industrial or super urban life cities, they probably had less a conscious of mind. The tea is somehow related to your inner space, mind, and the nature. Yeah.
We're talking to composer Tan Dun about Tea, A Mirror of Soul, whose American premiere is at the Santa Fe Opera this summer. Getting back to this theme with the brother, the sister, and the husband, they are fighting over honor, over this book. They're forgetting wisdom in a very deep way, because they know, but they don't seem to care.
That's
that
why,
by fighting, they will destroy this woman whom they both love.
Yes, that's a very, very tragical story, and it's very also seductive story. Also, it's very interesting, sort of a triangle love angles. But by the end, what we really want to express, that kind of a mind, a chest, is after this tea, home. The home could be home out or home in. Also, home could be going back to China, going back to China, Japan. Also, morally, it's going to the home of your heart, home of your spirit, home of emptiness, harmony. So that's very, very Zen. And for example, by the end, the Chinese princess, he said, oh, since he killed his own, miskilled his own sister, and he said, everything started with me, should end with me. So he asked the Seikyu to kill him. But actually Seikyu was going to, but by the end, he's going to start the action. Instead of killing him, he cut off his hair, right? Cutting somebody's hair in Japanese and the Chinese culture, specifically Chinese culture, it means to cut off the normal life's warrior, sentimental way of thinking of daily life. So the hair symbolizes, metaphors, the worries of life and society as a normal life. So when you heard that kind of expression, say, oh, let me be home, let me cut off all my hair, let me be just in the realm of spirit to start a new life, blah, 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 blah. And this means they want to be a monk or they want to be a meditational spiritual man. So basically, that's the departure of the tea opera, trying to tell them, Seikyu, the monk, was a prince, but now it cut off all the things, trying to teach all the students to drink, for example, the empty bowl of tea. And all the monks asking, Master, how could you drink? Because the cup is empty. Then he said, if your heart feels and the teacup is full of things, but even you have a bash of tea in front of you, if your heart is empty, there's still nothing there. I love this. This is very, very Zen. Tells you the heart space, the inner space, actually. It's the most important one.
The theme of incest between the brother and sister is played up in the Santa Fe opera, the brother being very much in love with his sister as a woman, not just as a sister. Is there a literary precedent that you were working with for that story?
We had a little hint, but you can understand from any kind of a level. Yeah. But that time, especially ancient time, I think sister loves brother, cousin loves another cousin. It's very, very normal, actually. Even in Chinese literature or Western literature, you can find that often. So here, we really don't want to push too much. You can have your own attitude towards the story. But certainly, the brother and the sister are deeply in love is because they are wonderful sister and brothers. They every day study Zen and culture, calligraphy, dance, music together. And they're like a 1+1=1. They cannot apart from it. And when the Seikyu Japanese prince come here and fall in love with his sister, and the Chinese prince immediately sensed that family is going to break. And Lan, which his beloved sister, gonna be away. So that's why, I mean, that time away means really marry her to Japan. It means the whole life probably won't come back. It's not like today, you can take a vacation, you can come back anytime. But in ancient time, yeah. So at that time also between royal families and between different sort of kingdoms, they trade with a marriage for a friendship, for a diplomatic sort of a relationship, yeah.
You just mentioned 1 + 1 = 1, which is something you also talked about when you introduced ghost opera at the Lenzic. What is that philosophy all about?
You know, I came from an Eastern cultural training system, and I lately studied more Western music system. Then I find I was struggling 20 years ago every day in which direction I should go, Eastern or Western. Then I find which home I should home along, go ahead. Is my Hunan home or my New York home? I have two homes. These two homes gave me different kind of thing. My Hunan home gave me the dream. But New York home gave me the culture, gave me the business, gave me the mind. And then I find actually myself had another home in the heart, which according to Zen culture is the most important one. Your home in the heart, in your mind. Actually, that's the home equals either one of them. It's one plus, it's one home plus another home together. Then I figured out technically, philosophically, and culturally, my music is always going that direction. Having the origin and the resource from my dream, but developed into very much today's my mind and life of New York City as a capital of world culture. Yeah. So, you see, when I see string quartet, I'm not treated as a normal standard Western string quartet with a 200 or 300 years history. I treat a string quartet with a history of unlimited sound and color plate. You can print with a string quartet with any kind of color, any kind of sound, sonorities. Opera, same. Like tea opera, you can see, you know, there is a base of Western opera, operatic institutional sort of a system there. But meanwhile, it's so charming is because there's a Peking opera, there's a kabuki, there's an Eastern operatic tradition there. And when those two scrambled, mixed together as a new one, a new concept of opera, and that is so exciting. So that's my cultural and the philosophical formula, which is 1 + 1 = 1. It could be East and West mixture, or could be inner space or universal, or could be yin and yang, female and man, or could be visual and aura. So all those things needs to be philosophically and technically blended together. I say technically, it's very important. Because sometimes we have a good mind, but you technically, your technique cannot figure it out and come out with any sort of a very efficient way to sort out your mind. It's also just a wasted mind. What a pity. So to me, figure out anything technically, go with your expression of certain mind. It's very, very important. And this thing behind your technical mind is philosophy. But this philosophy, to me, my expression or my invention is 1 + 1 = 1.
This opera is in English. How foreign or familiar is English for you as an artistic medium? Why did you choose English?
There are several levels answer towards this. First of all my opera are set in English. It's because I start to contact the Western opera when I was coming to New York 20 years ago. And then I find I'm writing a opera, or I'm willing to contribute to the opera of Western opera institutional world. If you work with this institutional work, and you have to be able to embrace this and knowing this culture well, and to me, Western opera institutions also are seeking for a new directions, where to go. And we all do not want this tradition dying in our hand. We have to continue, we have to expand it. But meanwhile, Eastern opera also has a different kinds of institutions. They're, first of all, they're playing without orchestra, Western orchestra. They're singing with different kinds of singing systems. They are having different kinds of performing tradition. So these two systems, you have to be very, very careful choosing. If you're choosing Western one, and you have to figure out 1 + 1 = 1 in different way. But if you're choosing an Eastern one, but you have to figure out the 1 + 1 = 1 another way. So to me, this opera, the Book of Tea, the Tea Opera, of course, it's been chosen, written for Western operatic institutional culture. So everything, the language, the music language, all goes around that institutions. But meanwhile, I also, for example, I did a opera, another opera now. It's performing in the Shaolin Temple, the martial arts base, and also the birthplace of Chinese Zen 2,000 years ago in the Shaolin Monk Mountains. So I used the 500 martial art monks performing only with organic sound in the mountain. Whatever the mountain has, the wood, the stone, the water, the wind, and we just use that. And we made a Buddha Passion. Basically, the 2 hours show is talking about the Buddha Passion, the Passion of Buddha. And that system, it's still 1 + 1 = 1. But that system much more goes with the Chinese or Oriental operatic institutional culture. The language is in Chinese and Tibetan chantings and Indian sutra. And this one, of course, in English. I think it's like Mozart. You know, Mozart sometimes write opera in Italian, sometimes write in German. And sometimes depends on what kind of audience he's writing for. For example, if he was writing for Italian a circle or operatic lovers, or was commissioned by Italian institutions, it goes that way too. And to me, English and Chinese, or Spanish, or French, actually, are quite equal, honestly.
Now,
yeah.
Now, this opera would always be in English. You wouldn't translate it, Tea, a Mirror of Soul, to be sung in other languages.
Could be. For example, now I'm working on another opera, which is the Forbidden Cities of Marco Polo. Basically, it's a Marco Polo story happening in the Forbidden City of Beijing. And that opera I'm writing in Chinese and in Italian.
Aha, very interesting. We're talking to composer Tan Dun about Tea, a Mirror of Soul, whose American premiere is at the Santa Fe Opera this summer. You spoke a moment ago about organic instruments, which are very much a part of Tea, a Mirror of Soul, water, paper, earthenware, and so on. Why do you include them?
Okay, if we go back to Sir Louis' Book of Tea, written in 8th century, in some chapters he talked a lot of things about water. What kind of water? Heavy water or light water? River water or well water, and rain water or underground water. It's a different way to discover what kind of water. And secondly, what kind of wind make what kind of fire, and what kind of temperature goes with what kind of tea. For example, chamomile needs to have 90 degrees burning water. But for very, very good Japanese green tea, the water must be 75 degrees, not too hot. And this is very interesting. Certainly, what kind of ceramics teapot goes with what kind of tea? For example, I love to have a white or very thin color of teapot for green tea. You can appreciate the color. But if you having a very, very dark porcelain teapot for a beautiful green tea, actually you cannot appreciate the color. That's very interesting. And also he talked how to make those kind of ceramic pots. So water, wind, and the ceramics are very, very important in tea book and tea ceremony. Then I find these three could be a title materials for my different act of opera. So first opera, it's called Water. And second opera, second act, it's called Wind and Paper. Because using the paper to carry the sound of wind. And the third one, it's called Ceramic and Stones.
And the performers who are playing them as instruments are also performers who are on the stage and have a lot of visual stage presence in the way they move. They're almost like dancers.
Yes. To me, the Chinese and also Japanese performing training system, specifically for musicians and opera singers, the doing and the singing are same, equally. So the gesture of music must be sponsored by the gesture of performing. And the performing must be supported by the voicing and the sound of music too. And that's why even for the orchestra member or for percussionist in this opera, and sometimes in order to have this kind of a gesture of sound, you have to participate with your body and mind. You cannot just be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, to reach this kind of a empty mechanical beats. You have to come with a certain participations of your body. For example, specifically in the tea opera, we have two music systems was being hired. For the Eastern music system, it's pretty much like a calligraphy, very linear coloring. And for this kind of a paper sound, water sound, and you have to come with this sort of linear sort of realizations, and you have to participate with the body. It's difficult to do this kind of sound without body participations. But of course, if you're drumming a rock beats, heavy metal, or of course, even though for the rock and roll or rap people here, you see, they participate a lot. The body, the dances, the, you know. And so that's so fresh. That made a classical musician much more vividly participate or get into today's culture. And that also made Eastern and Western performing tradition be so much embraced.
Let's talk about the Santa Fe Opera production. How is it different from previous performances of Ti, A Mirror of Soul?
It's very different. I have to say, maybe other ones had a different kind of approach, more towards the philosophy or culture. But this one is purely into the dramatic approach. It's a way very smartly structuralized for a storytelling. Armand, our director, he's a wonderful and very, very sophisticated theater director. And come to the theater, or tea opera, it's like go to the cinema. And every second seduce you into this realm of a story as spiritual expressions. And it's a very, very haunting, longing. It's very, very passionate. It links you closely to what's happening on the stage. And I love this kind of a way to formalize the opera. I think opera, it's like an ancient cinema. Before the cinema was invented, opera was like today's event of going to the cinema. So also the opera has same kind of phenomenon of the cinema today. It's kind of a synthesized work with the visual, makeup, performing, directing, music, and everything is there. That's the ancient cinema, which is opera. So come to the tea, come to the ancient cinema, and that's very, very dramatic experience for you.
Do the directors consult you? Do they ask you questions when they're putting together the production, or do you really have to just let go of it and let them do it?
Before, about 6 months ago, I and Amon was gathering together in New York City. Basically, I was trying to tell him a story. So after I told him a story with my chanting, singing, and blah, 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 all kind of sound vocalized, then I said, Amon, I already told you a story, and you can retell it. That's it. I never see him in 6 months, and when I come here, it's a world premiere. Fantastic. I was so surprised. He's a genius. He's a very, very music person, and he understands every gesture of music, and he illustrates all the sonority into a performing gestures, and I love it.
Tan Duan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I love Santa Fe, and I love audience here, because here I find this opera is perfect for the audience here, because here the people is much closer to the nature, and that's the culture. That's the music specifically created for them.
And here we are in the opera with the breeze blowing through and moving the paper and moving the elements
and
on stage.
And that's very, very seldom a treasure experience to enjoy this opera. Is when the stage door was open, and suddenly you realize, oh my God, we are talking, we are enjoying the tea, actually, in the nature, in the open space, in the space actually directly linked to the sky and earth.
Well, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Tan Duan. He is the composer of the opera Tea, A Mirror of Soul, whose American premiere is this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. And in fact, the second performance is tonight. The Santa Fe Opera is at santafeopera.org on the internet, or you can call them at 986-5900. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz.
Your